It's Monday, December 28th. If struggling brings us together, well, we got really close this year. We start here. We haven't seen this kind of loss in generations.
I said, yes. He was like, I'm sorry. And that's all down the road with him saying, I'm sorry. And I just dropped the phone and I ran upstairs.
But in a year filled with moments of heartache lived in public, what happens when the TV crews pack up and go home?
So there was no Thanksgiving dinner around the table because there's no longer a table.
Today, we are going back to people we've met along the way and learning about their new lows, or in some cases, new heights.
I have 2 years left on this public health degree.
What a pandemic looks like inside one life at a time. From ABC News, this is a special edition of Start Here. I'm Brad Milkey. Hey, hope you had a great holiday weekend. And if you didn't, honestly, it figures, right? Because for so many Americans, this year has just been devastating.
Hello, Erica? I said, yes. He was like, I'm sorry. And that's all down the road with him saying, I'm sorry. And I just dropped the phone and I ran upstairs.
We're just bursting at the seams with so much COVID. So now you're looking at the possibility of people getting substandard care or delayed care.
I'm completely devastated, right? This is, you know, anybody who opens a small business isn't doing it for like, a fun little side project.
But even before the pandemic, if you ask a journalist what they don't like about their job, it's that we rarely actually get to see the most dramatic moments for people as they happen. We show up minutes after whatever happens, we ask questions, and then we leave. And yet, we are leaving that person as a new chapter in their life is just beginning, whether it's for the better or the worse. So the biggest question that always lingers is, what happened to that person after I left? Well, this is a week where we're going to take stock of that day by day as we look back on a year of loss, of heartache, of turmoil, division, and in some cases, thrilling changes. We're going to look back at all of that. And today, we're going back to two voices we have heard in the throes of this pandemic. They did not get the virus themselves, but they were affected by it in very different ways. So first, I want to talk about Sherry Johnson from Yuma, Arizona. You might remember as businesses were shutting their doors in the spring, Congress leapt into action. They approved unprecedented relief measures, loans for businesses, checks for families, and crucially, enhanced unemployment benefits for people who had suddenly lost their jobs for really no other reason than we just all wanted to keep people safe in our communities.
That's $600, you know, that meant that, you know, I get to have my apartment, you know, I get to keep my lights on, I get to keep my car insured.
Sherry lost her job as a restaurant manager, and she was wondering what to do if her unemployment check suddenly went from $800 a week to less than $300 a week. Well, Sherry is back with us this morning. Sherry, you're in Arizona, right? How are you doing?
I'm trying to hang in there, but COVID's definitely blowing up here in Arizona again really, really bad, and unemployment just remains an issue here. I mean, $240 a week, that doesn't cover a whole lot.
Well, and that's the big question that I think I wanted to ask you is, have you been able to find work? What is your situation right now?
No. In fact, it's only just kind of gotten worse where I'm living. I've had a couple of interviews, but, you know, especially for restaurant managers or restaurant people in general, it's just, and so many people moving from California to where I live.
Over half of all Californians considered leaving the state over the last year.
We keep taxes low, regulations light, and we want opportunity for all. That's
it's just gotten harder and harder. I used to have all this confidence and, you know, my credentials were just great and I could tell you all these wonderful things about me and being general manager of the year and all the stuff. And now what used to be super impressive for Yuma is now kind of not so much.
Oh, your Yuma credentials are now, you're now up against like LA restaurant managers and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Have your unemployment benefits stayed the same? Like, what have you been doing for money?
No, it's just, you know, we've been lucky where it's like, you know, they've had the extension and, you know, the extension ran out and then we were without money for a while. Another extension kicked in, thank God. Hmm. But again, it's $240 a week. And the only thing that's been helping me really is My daughter that had COVID at the beginning of the situation,
right.
Her restaurant has remained partially opened, and she's been helping me.
Oh, so she bumps you some money when she can.
So yeah, she's been helping me. By the grace of God, I mean, there was actually a couple of individuals from your show that were basically kind of saved my life and helped me out a little bit. But I mean, it's just, I mean, I've been selling things.
Really? Like what?
Stuff I'd hope to pass to my kids. So like my wedding set, my diamond wedding set, believe it or not, my kitchen table and chairs. So there was no Thanksgiving dinner around the table because there's no longer a table. Not that there was much to put on it anyway. Some other jewelry that my mom had given me, some cocktail rings that were like pearls and diamonds. It's just been a matter of whatever we can. You know, I had a TV in my room, which didn't go for much, but it was something.
On a personal level, like, what is that like for you and your kids then? Like, I'm just thinking about how families go through these things together. Does it affect your family life?
No, it's been really, really hard.
Right.
Sarah, you know, she's a senior in high school this year, and she's had complete straight A's, but this has affected her grades. Like, she's been sad, and right now, like, her grades are suffering a lot, which could affect her college scholarship that we're trying to deal with and help right now. But she's been really sad and upset, and I can't blame her. I mean, I can't fault her for struggling right now, because it's not that she doesn't understand stuff. It's just it's paralyzing, and I feel it too. You know, there's days where I just don't even want to get out of bed, and I can't be mad at her for it because I'm there. You know, I mean, there was a time where, you know, especially, you know, like the dishes never went undone. I always, before I went to bed, you know, everything was always, the dishes were always done, whether I'd worked a 15-hour shift or not.
Right.
And like, you know, Susan, you know, I dropped her off at work today, and, you know, she kind of was like, Mom, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm doing everything I can to make sure that you kids don't, you know, that you and Sarah don't get sick, you know, and she's stressed out because obviously everybody in Yuma is getting sick again. We have friends in the hospital right now on ventilators.
Really?
Yes. And, you know, I mean, it's just nobody cares about the people.
I want to ask you, Senator Kelly, what your position is on this package and if you think you're going to vote for it or not.
I think at the top of the list is expanded unemployment benefits. We have 440,000 Arizonans who are out of work through no fault of their own.
Yeah, let's talk about the politics for a second, because I'm wondering what goes through your mind, because we speak months ago about the need for a new COVID relief package. Nothing happened until this month. How did that affect you in the meantime?
They're so worried about big business. You know, they're so worried about corporations.
We can't get the economy back to normal if we have an epidemic of lawsuits on the heels of the pandemic.
And there's always money for corporations. Simply. There's always money for bailouts. There's always that you bail out the airlines. You know, you see it all the time. And or war. Let us bomb somebody. There's always money for that. But you can't help we the people, you know. And that's heartbreaking, and it makes us sick. People are going hungry. People are going homeless. And now they're like, you know, maybe we'll send you $600. And, you know, if you're homeless, you're homeless. Or if you die, you die, or whatever happens.
How do you keep hope going into the new? Like, how do you keep going?
I don't know anymore, because honestly, I cry a lot.
The numbers are getting worse tonight. More than 312,000 lives lost.
Help for millions of Americans impacted by the pandemic now suddenly in limbo.
And just before the holidays, long lines at food banks from coast to coast.
This is like living a nightmare I never thought would happen. Like, in my wildest, wildest dreams, I never saw this happening to us. In my wildest dreams, I never believed, living in the United States of America, that this would happen. This is some third world craziness. You know, we're hurting, we're suffering. It's the rich shouldn't just survive because they're rich. You know, I'm just as important as the next guy. Why can't anybody see that? I'm not nothing.
Well, thank you. I mean, all I can say, because I don't have anything inspirational or even remotely helpful. All I can say is just thank you for telling us what you're going through. So hopefully we can, like you've been trying to do with your own elected officials, just like tell the humanity of this story, because like you said, it's real people on the line. So thank you so much for talking again.
No, thank you. I mean, it's just, you know, if nothing else, that we're all here together, you know, instead of at a hospital.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm feeling for you, Sherry. Sherry Johnson in Yuma, Arizona. Thanks again for talking to us. Be well. Next up on Start Here, someone whose life has gone in a dramatically different direction in a year where even he would never expect it. We're back in a bit.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
If we're talking about people who were losing opportunities during COVID-19, remember what Liam Spady was going through. Like millions of Americans, Liam was studying at community college this spring. But unlike a lot of his classmates, Liam was functionally homeless, which he says is a lot more common than you would think.
And at the end of the night, he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Oh, I'm going back to this place. I'm staying the night." And I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Oh, I live behind the art museum." And I said, "Oh, wow." I said, "That's cool. It must have like a nice condo back there." He said, "No, I sleep on the steps."
So when community colleges closed their common spaces, well, there went his study space. There went his cafeteria. There went his most accessible power outlets. Like, that sort of stuff, gone. And suddenly, this great student from West Philadelphia was wondering if he would get to go to the school that had offered him a scholarship this fall. Well, we're back with Liam Spady right now. Liam, first question people have been asking me, did Liam end up taking classes at Temple this fall? What's the answer?
I did, in fact. I took five classes. pretty good experience, you know, with COVID and all, mostly online. It was interesting, fun. The semester just ended yesterday.
Really? Okay, so what was that like then as you began school in this crazy year?
Well, originally at the beginning of the semester, Temple was doing like a hybrid. So they would be like in person and at home. And I walked into a class and we're talking about like statistics and heavy math. And I love math, but I said, this does not seem right. So I'm like scrambling around the campus first time asking, "Hey, is this classroom XYZ?" And they said, "Yeah, this is the classroom." And I realized that I was an hour and a half early. Because I was so hyped to get to school, so I attended the wrong class. But it was fun. Most of my classes focused on the work that I do, youth cultures, youth education, but that interface with the professor being everything online, so you have to email questions in, right. Sometimes with limited time to hold discussions in class, but it was still, it was fun because the professors right. adapted their lessons to be able to teach online.
What was your decision like? Because, you know, you were like, "I don't know if I'm going to go. It's like a weird semester. I don't even know if I can go to campus." Can you just take me through like your thinking as you were like, "Okay, I'm pulling the trigger. This is the semester."
Yeah, I think things kind of panned out. After I got that acceptance letter, I was, you know, really thinking about it. And then I got a update from OHS and, you know, moved into my apartment. and things got a little bit clearer.
Wait, back up. You got an apartment?
Oh, okay. So yeah, I finally got this apartment, in West Philly. So I'm here now.
It's like your apartment?
Yeah. The rapid rehousing program with the Office of Homeless Services kind of panned out. So I have this until June, and then from there I'll have to kind of figure out life. But it's a pretty good foundation.
So that's incredible. It also sounds like that happened really quickly, Liam, because I'm imagining now, like, you were telling me you'd gotten into this college, you had to decide whether to go, you decide to do it. At the same time, you're getting an apartment when you're dealing with housing and insecurity. Like, this just sounds exciting, but also, like, overwhelming.
Yeah, it was a huge frenzy. You know, me being so closely tied with the Office of Homeless Services, I was emailing everybody. Like, hey, what's the update on this? And I called every day, emailed every day. The apartment search was really crazy too, like just trying to find a good location in the city.
Yeah, I'm seeing you on Zoom right now. Is that where you are right now? Is that like, is that the place? What's it like?
The space is great. I learned a lot in the first couple of months about just like what was required, maintenance, cleaning up. It's a lot of work. You know, I would throw things off. So I'll get to it later and it would pile up, but
yeah, oh, like your college batch pad life is like, yeah,
it's a little different, more space. So it kind of feels good too. So it's a relief of constantly worrying what the next situation would be. So
that's kind of what I wanted to ask you about, like, because you know you were struggling with home, like housing insecurity, coming out of high school, which is there's so many stressors there. But the reason you and I were talking was because at least community college had given you some public spaces that you could use and make you feel like, you know, these are my own. But then that goes away with COVID. So I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, how hard would this have been if you hadn't, like, gotten that opportunity with the apartment all of a sudden? With this year, I mean.
It's a great question. You know, honestly, I can't say. I know that it would still be a struggle. Although, you know, I have faith. I mean, I think that it would still have panned out in a well situation, but it's not something that may have been favorable. I don't know how it would have worked out, actually. I'm just glad that this did work out.
Exactly. Yeah. And you've worked with broader homeless populations, like outside of like because you've worked with organizations and things, people mm-hmm. who do go to shelters. Do you have a sense, like, can you give me a peek into that world of whether those systems are totally overwhelmed this year? Have you gotten a sense?
It's definitely overwhelmed.
Well, the coronavirus pandemic has claimed another victim, and homeless men and women in Philadelphia are going to suffer the consequences.
A lot of the funding streams that people thought they were going to get has not come down from the federal government due to different budget cuts. So it's extremely, like, crazy frenzy time. Many of the large systems are worrying about, after this rent hold is over, what will happen? Will there be mass evictions?
How many places do you think you've applied to?
I'm going to say about like 12.
12 of them?
Yeah, about 10, 12.
And you've been turned out by all of them?
All of them.
Do they say outright, we've declined because you were evicted?
Yeah.
Some of the other challenges the organization's faces around like employment and food security, those projects have kind of been put to the side to make sure people are in shelters or other residences. So 2021 will be a lot of work to be done.
And do you know what you will do come January?
Only God knows. I don't know. To be honest with you, I wouldn't know. I just gotta wait until that day gets here.
Right. Family, friends, are people proud of you?
Oh yeah, for sure. I got a lot of great emails, texts, and even a couple of phone calls for completing the first semester at Temple and just finally being independent. I have 2 years left on this public health degree, bachelor's, and then Temple will be announcing pretty soon this awesome master's of, I always say the word wrong, dietetics or diet something, but I want to be a dietitian for the community and work in the field of nutrition. So 3 years, you'll see me in the field.
All right. Well, we're just so glad to catch up with you. So happy to hear that you have your space. And because I just think in this year, like I said, like of all the times not to have your own space, 2020 has been such a difficult one. So just so glad that, you know, these last few months have been, you know, kind of stable for you in such an unstable year. Thanks so much for the time, Liam.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
will be checking in with people throughout the week, with some of these people that you met in 2020, and we'll be asking what happens as we look forward to 2021. A lot of different stories to get through. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. As always, we are at Start Here ABC. I'm Brad Milkey. See you tomorrow.